When Job lost everything in his life in one single 24-hour period and then got a terrible illness at the same time, here's what he said. I came naked from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything that I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Pastor Rick Warren says, in order to have the courage to stand up for Christ in a time when doing so can be difficult, you've got to know what you believe and why you believe it. You also have to understand non-Christian worldviews so you can more effectively share the hope of Christ with people around you. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad that you've joined us. Today, we continue with a series called Uncommon Courage. Now, just before we get started, we want to invite you to take a sneak peek at Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life while you're listening to today's message. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called The Courage to Keep Going.
Job 42, 1 to 3 and verse 6. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do anything, God, and I know that no one can stop you. You're sovereign and you're omnipotent. You, God, ask, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? Job's doing a little internal conversation here. He says, God, I can imagine you saying, who is this guy that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? And Job admits, it is I. I was talking about things I did not understand, things far too wonderful for me. God, I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. Job says, I was talking about things I didn't understand. This situation's way over my head. It's above my pay grade. I don't have the capacity to understand the ways and the wisdom of God. I'm sorry. I repent. I was wrong. I should just trust you in this. Now, what do you do? What do you do when you're in a situation that you don't see what God sees? You can't see the whole picture. Things aren't clear, and it makes no sense at all to you what's happening. What do you do in that situation? You remind yourself of the things about God that you do know, that you know for certain, that you can rely on, and you publicly affirm what you do know in the midst of all the things that you don't know and you don't understand. And this is exactly what Job does throughout the entire book. I just wrote a few of them down there on your outline. Job reminds himself, he says, I know that God is good, and I know that God is loving. Job chapter 10. He says, I know that God is all powerful. He says, I notice that God notices every detail of my life. I know that for sure. I know that God is in control. I know that God has a plan for my life, and I know that God will protect me. He affirms in the middle of his doubts the stuff he does know to be true. Now, I don't know what you're going through right now, and you may not feel it, but I will tell you this. God is passionately and intimately aware of every detail in your life that you're going through right now. And he's paying attention to every breath and every burp in your life. Nothing misses God's attention, because God is complete love, and he made you to love you, and he notices everything in your life.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called Uncommon Courage, and there's more coming up. But when you have a minute, be sure to check out PastorRick.com for tons of great resources. While you're there, go ahead and sign up for his free daily email devotional and podcast. You can follow Rick on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word daily to 99000. That's the word daily to 99000.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control, In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to get unstuck? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now or go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. If you like, you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Thanks so much in advance for your support. There are just 3 days left to get this great book by Rick Warren, so don't wait.
Here's what people just like you are saying about Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
Listening to the Daily Hope broadcast has really impacted my life in so many ways. In the practical teaching that Daily Hope offers, it's been life-changing for me. Even for someone who's been a believer their entire life, I still continue to grow, and I am so thankful for the ministry and what you guys do.
What is God doing in your life through this broadcast? Email us and let us know at rick@pastorrick.com. You can listen every day to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope on this station or at PastorRick.com, the Daily Hope app, or you can listen to our podcast on iTunes.
Thanks for listening today, everybody. And let's be on the lookout for how God is working in each of our lives.
Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, Monday through Friday, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Rick Warren.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
God is passionately and intimately aware of every detail in your life that you're going through right now. And He's paying attention to every breath and every burp in your life. Nothing misses God's attention because God is complete love, and He made you to love you, and He notices everything in your life. So even though Job doesn't understand what's going on, he makes these affirmations of faith, and you need to do this. I know you're good. I know you're loving. I know you're powerful. I know you notice the details of my life. I know you're in control. I know you have a plan. I know you will protect me. And after making all these affirmations, Job comes to the decision, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I may not understand it, but I'm going to trust God no matter what. Look at this next verse. Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Whoa. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust you. God, if you kill me, I'm still going to trust you. If you end my life, I'm still going to trust you. Have you come to that maturity in your faith? Are you just still a spiritual baby and you can only trust God when things go good in your life? The ultimate test of faith is, God, I don't understand it all, but I know you're a good God. And even if you let me die, I'm going to trust you. Because I wasn't made for this life anyway. I was made for heaven. You know, there's a phrase that has helped me a lot as I deal with senseless tragedies. And I see them all the time as your pastor, because I'm hearing what's going on in your life and in your life and in your life. And I see it all the time. And one of the things I've just come to say in my mind as I say this, it's all a part of the plan. It's all a part of the plan. That's a good thing to remember. It's all a part of the plan. It's not all good. And God doesn't cause it. God doesn't cause sin. If I went out here and got drunk and got in an accident and hurt somebody, that would not be God's will. It would not be God causing it. But you know what? God says, I'm even bigger than your sin. I'm bigger than your mistakes. I'm greater than your faux pas and faults and stupid decisions. And you know what? I'll even fit that into the plan for good. You may be thinking, where was God when my loved one died? The same place he was when his son died on the cross for you. When his son was dying for your sins so you could go to heaven. He was grieving. He was weeping. He was sorrowing over the brokenness of this planet because of sin. And now nothing works right. But you weren't made to live forever on this planet. No, you were made for something far more. This is just the stopover place. You weren't made to live on earth forever. You ought to thank God you're not going to live on earth forever. With all the sorrow and suffering and sickness and illness and sin and abuse and perversion and war and crime and hatred and all of the evil that's in this world. You ought to thank God you're not going to live forever on this planet. You were made for so much more. But you need a Savior. As I've said many, many times, if you didn't need a Savior, God wouldn't have sent Jesus at Christmas. For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you could get into heaven without Jesus Christ dying for your sins, believe me, Jesus wouldn't have wasted his blood and God wouldn't have wasted his son. There's no other way. You need a Savior. I don't know what you're going through, but you need to do these steps. You need to just be gut level honest with God and tell him exactly how you feel. He can handle it. You need to involve other people in your life, godly, good people. Get a small group, get some support system, and let other people help you. Humble yourself and receive help. Stop asking why. File it in the doesn't make sense file. And start trusting God in all the things you don't understand. There are two other things. Refuse to become bitter. When Job lost everything in his life in one single 24-hour period and then got a terrible illness at the same time, here's what he said. I came naked from my mother's womb, and I shall have nothing when I die. The Lord gave me everything that I had, and they were his to take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You give and take away, you give and take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God says, Job did not sin by blaming God. Job said, you know what? I didn't bring anything into this world, not one stinking thing. I'm not taking anything out of it into the next life. Not one stinking thing. Whatever I have right now, God gave me. It's his to give. It's his to take away. It's his to allow somebody else to take away. If somebody else does it, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not going to be bitter. Grief is good. Bitterness is bad. Pain will not kill you. Bitterness will. Sorrow and grief will not harm you. Resentment will destroy you. Resentment prolongs the pain. It doesn't relieve it. It reinforces it. It makes it worse. Grief is a good thing. Now, men, let me talk to you for a minute, because guys, we don't handle grief very well because men, by nature, don't like sad feelings. And so when we feel any little bit of sadness, we start pushing it down. And that's, like I said, shaking up the Coke bottle. It doesn't work. But we want to push it. You need to realize grief is God's gift to you. Grief is the tool that helps you through the transitions of life. It's how you move from one loss to the next chapter, to the next stage, to the next element in your life. There is no growth without change. There is no change without loss. And there is no loss without pain and grief. You're going to have pain in your life for the rest of your life. You got to learn how to grieve good. Jesus said, blessed, that means happy. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's a good thing. God grieves. In fact, the shortest verse in the Bible is just two words. In John 11, Jesus wept. Jesus knows how to grieve. And grief is a good thing. And there's a proper time for everything in life. In Ecclesiastes, he says there's a time and purpose for everything. A time to be happy, a time to be sad. A time to celebrate, a time to mourn. A time to have a party, a time to grieve. There are seasons of grief in life. That's a good thing. But you cannot let a season of grief become a lifestyle of grief, because that'll destroy you. There's a time and purpose for everything. In other words, there's a difference between mourning and moaning. There's a difference between weeping and wallowing. And at some point, you gotta let it go. I want you to write this down. Losses deepen me, but don't define me. Losses deepen me, but they don't define me. You are not your divorce. You are not the bankruptcy. You are not the failure of that business. You are not the disability. You are not the difficulty. Losses deepen me, but they do not define me. They are part of my maturity. They are not part of my identity. That's not me. It's just something that happened to me, and that's over, and I'm now going on to the next thing. They're part of maturity, but not part of my identity. Another thing you need to realize is that when you go through a problem, a major problem, God gives you grace in that moment. And he doesn't give it to anybody else around you. Only the person going through it gets the grace. And God gives you just enough grace for today. And tomorrow he'll give you just enough grace to handle the stress of tomorrow. And he'll give you enough grace the next day. Now, if you start worrying about something that's going to happen in 10 days, that's stupid. Because God's not going to give you grace today for something that doesn't happen for 10 days. So you're borrowing trouble. It's why it's dumb to worry. Because when you worry, you're borrowing trouble when you don't have the grace for it yet. When you get there in 10 days, God will give you the strength to handle it in 10 days. But you don't have the strength to handle it now, and that's why it's destroying you. Because you're carrying weight that God wasn't going to give you. You're second guessing, you're presupposing, you're worrying, you're being anxious, you're being fearful. And God is not going to give you grace for that event today. You just got to live it one day at a time. The Bible doesn't say, give us this day our monthly bread. God says, I'm going to give you one day at a time, enough strength for today. Now, here's the problem. When you're in a situation, God gives you grace in that moment, but he's not giving it to the people around you who are watching. So sometimes people are going to give you the wrong advice, including friends, including family, because they don't have the same grace you've been given. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Job's wife said to Job, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. Oh, thank you, honey. That was very helpful. I really appreciate, man, that's what you call a supportive woman. Thank you, honey. Curse God and die. I haven't thought of that one. Job's wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said, you're talking like a godless woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all of this, Job said nothing wrong. He refused to become bitter. He refused to become resentful. As I said, it doesn't relieve the pain. It just reinforces it. Hebrews 12 says, watch out that no bitterness takes root among you because it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual lives. It's been said many times, in this life, pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. It's your choice. Now, there's one other thing that Job did. Number 6, face the future with courage. Face the future with courage. That's what this message is about, the courage to keep going, uncommon courage. You know, there was another guy in the Bible who lost a baby. His name was King David. King David's wife had a little baby boy, and David loved that baby. And it got very, very sick, and it was dying. And David went in, and he laid himself down in his home on the ground, and he prayed night and day, night and day, night and day. He wouldn't eat. He was fasting. He wouldn't sleep. He wouldn't take a shower, a bath. He wouldn't do any business. He just prayed, God, save that baby. Save that baby. Save that baby. God, please save that baby. I don't know what your purpose and plan is. I don't know what the future is. All I know is my desire, and I want you to save that baby. It's okay to pray your desires when you don't know what God's got in store. And he prayed and he prayed and prayed, but the baby died. And when David the king's advisors came to tell him, King David, your son has passed away, they were worried because they thought, he's so distraught while the baby's alive, he might just lose it when the baby dies. And they were all worried. They said, your son has died. You know what David did? He got up. He dusted himself off. He went home. He took a shower, he shaved, he put on clean clothes, he ate for the first time in days, and he went back to work. And the advisors were amazed. They said, we don't get it. You were so distraught. Now you're just going on, getting on with your life. David said something very profound. He said this, my child will never return to me. But one day I will return to my child in heaven. He will not come back to me, but I will go to him one day. That chapter's closed. It's over. Job 11 says this. Put your heart right, Job. Reach out to God. Put away evil and wrong from your home. Then face the world again, firm and courageous. Underline that. Face the world again, firm and courageous. You need courage to face the future. Then all your troubles will fade from your memory, like floods that are past and remembered no more.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you missed any part of today's message, just go to PastorRick.com to request a copy or a copy of the entire series. And while you're at it, sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. And remember to click on his social media links too. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to get unstuck? Well, here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. You can call us at 800-600-5004 right now, or just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Now, if you like, you can just text the word daily to 99000. That's the word daily to 99000. And thanks so much in advance for your support. There are just 3 days left to get this great book by Rick Warren, so don't wait. Now, here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
Thanks for listening today. You know, we can be completely confident that the gospel has the power not just to save us, but to change our lives on a daily basis. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program was sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.